How far would you go? How far would you go to save a child, your child, to protect your children, to protect your land and your territory and your memory? How long, how hard, how far would you go? Would you trust a perfect stranger who crams you into an open vessel, a boat that is barely seaworthy, to set out on sailing towards the Mediterranean, across the sea to the other side in the hopes of finding freedom? Some 300,000 have taken that leap. Some 300,000, I should say, have taken that journey, and some 3,000 have lost their lives doing it. Would you trust a perfect stranger who drops you off in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night, in the middle of January, clothed improperly, and says to you, head towards the light north to Canada. There you will find freedom. According to the UNHCR, some 50,000 claimants were received by Canada last year. 20,000 of them were stopped at the border by the RCMP as irregularly entering this country. Some 3,300 asylum seekers and refugee claimants found housing, temporary as it was, in this city over the course of this summer, and we know how our emergency shelter system has been burgeoning at the seams. Some say they should go back. Some say we should say no. Some say we should close our borders. Some say they should go back the same way they came. We've said that before. In 1939, when the German ocean liner, the St. Louis, arrived in port in Halifax, holding 900 refugee claimants fleeing the Holocaust in Germany, 900 Jewish people, having been turned away by Cuba and the United States, we turned them back too. Our Prime Minister will stand on the floor of the House of Commons on November the 7th and formally apologize for that moment in history and names it as an absolute moral failure. According to the UN, some 65.6 million people last year could be named as refugees, asylum seekers, and those who were displaced within their own borders because of pestilence and war. 65.6 million people on the run. And how are we to respond? How do we, as a people of faith, hear those stories and respond? It doesn't take much for us just to simply listen to that primal story of a people of our ancestral faith who were called in the middle of the night to gird their loins and to make for the border, only to arrive at the Red Sea waters with their backs to the future, listening to the chariots bearing down on them. And we know in that story that with God, all ways can be opened. All new paths can be trusted if we trust the way that God calls us. How is God calling us as a people of faith? In the 34th chapter of the book of Isaiah, the prophet names the reality for a people this way. The streams of Edom will become pitch, the soil sulfur. Her land will be burning pitch. Day and night the land will not be quenched, and the flames and the smoke will rise forever. Isaiah is painting a portrait of a land that has been under turmoil because of war and pestilence, and a people reflects the land. For a people who have lost their vision and their hope, in that dry, dry place comes word today in chapter 35 that everything is about to be opened. Isaiah says, "Say to those of fearful heart, be strong. Your God is here. Do not fear. God comes in terrible recompense and vengeance. God will save you. Anna Portier Young, who is a professor of Old Testament at Duke, says the word fearful of heart literally is translated those with racing heart. Our hearts race when we're afraid, when we are bound by tension, when we are anxious, when we aren't sure if we should fight or flee. It's the same feeling you have when you are put into a dark truck and driven across the border. It's the same anxiety you feel when you lose your job or when you are being evicted. When you live with such high anxiety, it is very difficult not to feel closed in and small and isolated. And word comes to a people who are isolated and fearful, God is coming to save you, God of vengeance and recompense. When you have been put down or abused, when you have been neglected, and when everything has been taken away from you, to hear those words, vengeance, is appealing. Revenge is appealing. It feels good when you've been hurt, but it lasts for only about 5 minutes. When we go down that tricky road of revenge, we know full well that it does not take long for us to lose ourselves in the want to satiate an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Much of the sound of gunfire in our streets this summer is a result of going down that narrow path of revenge. It doesn't take long to lose yourself. Dr. Portier Young actually says, it's not so much vengeance and recompense, it's not about getting even, it's that God makes all things even. It's restorative justice. Not in our image, but in God's image. And what is God's image? The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame shall dance and leap. The tongue of those who cannot speak will sing with joy. And the deserts will fill with water and the burning sand a pool. That all things will be restored, not just humanity, but the whole of creation. And so how far will God go to restore justice, to make all things even? When we hear in our gospel reading today, Jesus has crossed the border into Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon were notorious places in those early days. It was the one region that the people of Israel could not settle when the 12 tribes of Israel entered the Promised Land. It was a place that continually rebuffed the word of God. So why on earth did Jesus go to Tyre and Sidon? Maybe he just needed a break to go somewhere where nobody would recognize him. Maybe he just needed a little R&R. Or maybe he went to be changed and to change. But on this particular day, a Syrophoenician woman, a mother, desperate for her child, throws herself down at this rabbi's feet, likely having exhausted every conventional means of healing, and to throw herself at his feet and says, "Please help my child." And Jesus responds in a very pastoral way. "Let the children be fed first. It is not fair to take the children's food and to feed the dogs." Wow. It's not what I would have expected to hear. Some biblical scholars suggest that actually the word dog is puppy. Maybe that softens it some. Not really. Some say it's a tool, it's a rabbinic moment of arguing the point back and forth. But why the insult? In my moment of deepest need, will Jesus respond to me in the same way? But give her credit. As Bruce Coburn would sing in Lovers in a Dangerous Time, sometimes you have to kick at the darkness to bleed daylight. And boy, does she kick. But even the dogs under the table receive the crumbs of the children. That's the line. That is the line that moves the line, that moves the border, that extends it beyond what we deem to be outside. It's that same persistent movement that will move a people through the Red Sea waters and parts them. It's the same persistence that Jacob will wrestle all night long for a blessing from God. The same persistence of Ruth who will say, I am going with you. And for Mary to say, I will go with you. In that moment, a solitary, nameless woman changes everything, and the grace of God extends beyond the borders that we could ever ask or imagine. And Jesus said, because you said that, let it be so. They bring to him a man who cannot speak and he cannot hear. And things get a little messy. He puts his fingers in his ears and he spits on his tongue and says simply, Ephatha, be opened. If there was a word to the church that we need to hear in our time when borders are closing, it is simply the words of Jesus this morning that says, be opened. As Barack Obama once said, my liberty depends on your being free too. It is to the church to go into those places that have been neglected and left behind. It is for the church to go to those places and to those who have been pushed beyond the borders, who need simply to be restored so that all things might be even. It is for the church to speak in our time, not just through words, but through actions. To be open means to live somewhat dangerously, to be lovers in a dangerous time. It is for us to stand and to kick at those places of darkness so that daylight might come.